You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Harry Kane is the top scorer in the Champions League so far. Tottenham Hotspur are also joint top of Champions League Group H. Nobody gave us a chance. We have the last word on Spurs in our stoppage time special.
Kane, past the keeper, and it just takes the one chance for Harry Kane. Here's Kane, chance, goal, that's his currency. And right now, there is no one better at it. Harry Kane gets another hat-trick, and that is nine trebles in total for Tottenham, for one of their own, Harry Kane.
Hello, guys, and welcome back to The Last Word on Spurs. Guys, you can follow us across a range of different social media platforms. We are on Twitter, at Last Word on Spurs. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram too. Guys, you should also now be able to hear the podcast on a range of different audio platforms, including Audioboom, iTunes, and Acast. So, tonight, I'm delighted to say we are going to be talking about that huge result in Europe against Apoel. Delighted to say on the show tonight, we have Mr. Jason McGovern back with us. Jason, how are you?
Delighted, mate, with the 3 points and the hat-trick last night.
Yeah, what a game, what a result. We're going to be talking all about that. And joining Jason tonight, returning to the show, we have Mr. Ian Gunn with us. Ian, how are you?
I'm very well, Rick. And as we've said before, running out of superlatives to describe our Mr. Kane. So I'm sure that'll come up tonight.
It will do, Ian. I think you have to find some more in the next hour, as hard as that's going to be. Honestly, in tremendous form, isn't he? And finally, last but certainly not least, joining the panel tonight, delighted to have him back on the show, Jamie Brown, the creator of the Daily Hotspur. Jamie, how are you?
Thank you very much for having me back on. Obviously, 3 wins in 3 since we last spoke. So, yeah, very good time to be a Spurs fan again.
Very good time, Jamie. I think you've timed your return perfectly.
Yes.
Has not been too bad at all. So, guys, where to start? Let's go first to you then, Jace. A thoroughly professional job executed by Pochettino Spurs with Harry Kane shining on Europe's top stage. What did you make of the performance against Apoel?
I thought, we was a bit sluggish at the start, but, I mean, in fairness, that's probably down to the team selection. We all knew it was going to be difficult to get that right. We all knew that there would be one or two square pegs in round holes somewhere along the line, and that it would be hard to get going. And I don't think any of us probably saw the back five with Aurier right and Trippier on the left. I think probably most of us thought if it was going to be a back five, it would be Foyth coming in and Davis staying out on the left. And I think Trippier being out on that side, you know, for me, it doesn't quite work, because he always wants to cut inside, and every time the ball came to him, he didn't really want to run forward with it. So it was always going to be disruptive, and I think we just kind of had to understand that. But over the 90 minutes, it's quite strange, because Apoel surprised me in that they didn't probably defend as well as I expected them to, but coming forward, they were a lot more of a threat than I expected them to be. And probably over the 90 minutes, they had as many good chances to score and good opportunities to score from as we did. But of course, we had Kane, world-class Kane, top-class Kane, whatever you want to call him. we had the top man, and the quality of his finishing was really the big difference between the sides. And probably for the last 20, 25 minutes, we looked quite comfortable with our lead at that point. But that first, you know, the first half when they hit the bar and had a free header, and early in that second half, whilst it was only 1-0, it wasn't the most comfortable evening for us.
Yeah, no, I agree, James. I think the scoreline somewhat flattered Tottenham. Let's come over to you, Ian. What was your thoughts on the game? Do you echo Jason's?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, and I'm sitting there watching it and thinking, you know, this isn't going the way that we all expected. I think that there were some members of the, you know, the Spurs fan base who thought it would be in a bit of a walkover, but I think, you know, that they got beat in the first leg. On the first round in Madrid, was it 3-0? So, you know, that for them was probably a decent result. So coming to their home ground and coming up against what was a makeshift Spurs lineup, I knew it would be tough. I didn't think it would be a walk in the park. And as Jason said, it was a, you know, at the start of the game, you know, I thought we might struggle here. And then, you know, our friend Monsieur Lloris has his moment of madness, and I'm thinking this has the potential to be a bit of a banana skin for us. But as Jason said, you know, we have in Harry Kane, you know, I think that you know, it's getting to the stage where I'm struggling to think of a better centre forward that I've seen certainly in my lifetime supporting Spurs. I'm just a tad too young to remember Jimmy Greaves in his pomp, but you know, I think that fantastic performance from Kane, and quite a professional performance from the team, you know, once they got ahead.
Yeah, I mean, what I will say is clinical from Tottenham. It really, really was. Before we go into that debate about Kane, because, Ian, you've hit the nail on the head in terms of what I'm going to ask tonight, I want to come across to you, Jamie, just to kind of get your review on the game firstly. What was your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think it was, as we said, it was a banana skin game. So we're obviously missing a number of players. So I think to come away with the 3 points, it's good. So I said before the game I'd take a 1-0. Obviously seeing the lineup. Yeah, I mean, we've been missing key players like Christian Eriksen and Ali and Vertonghen, and obviously our two central midfielders. So we're really limited, but it was always going to be tough. And I think under the circumstances, we've done really well to come away with 3 points there.
Yeah, we have indeed. We really have. Coming back around to you, Jace, I mean, when we looked at the team when it first came out, you have to say it was a makeshift, wasn't it? I mean, Pochettino, for all he's worth, he's tried his best in that lineup, Jace, to field the quality of players rather than maybe looking at the players that will maybe fit the positions best when you look at it. I mean, we had Trippier starting up at left wing back. We had Aurier on the right. We had Winks and Sonny in there. Great to see Winks back. What did you make of the formation, Jace, when you first saw it? Was you a little bit concerned as to how we might line up?
I wasn't so much concerned at the formation. I think it was just the personnel, as I said. I think I thought we'd go with a back four. And I thought he might end up playing Llorente up front with Kane in and behind him, almost in the 10 role. But whichever formation he picked, we knew it was going to be a disruptive one. Yep. I thought maybe if we were going to go with the three at the back system, without being able to drop Eric Dier into it, then it would probably mean Foyth coming in for it. But, you know, whether he deemed him too young, and I think possibly we thought if Davies is going to play in the back three, it probably means that Walker Peters will go on the left. But as I say, I don't think anyone had Aurier and Trippier down as the two sides of the wing backs. And for me, there was square pegs in round holes never quite work. And as I say, Trippier didn't quite work on the left hand side. And I think by doing that and moving Davies into the centre back role, you lost a little bit of the momentum that Davies has been giving us going forward and his quality into the box. Although, in fairness to Trippier, the one decent ball that came into the box in that first half was his ball into Sonny. But yeah, it wasn't so much the formation. I thought it's a question of whichever players go out there, if they play well and they do the jobs they've been given to do, even if one or two of them aren't in their natural positions, we should have enough about us to win this game, which we did. And that was the main thing for me. But, you know, the formation wasn't to me, it wasn't the be all and end all. Although we did play a lot better when we did switch, I thought, to the back four. But maybe that's because Aurier went off, who wasn't having the best game anyway.
Mm. Coming over to you, Ian. It was a youthful bench from Spurs due to injuries. We had Georgiou making his first ever match day appearance, who came on late on. We had the likes of Llorente, some really good experience on that bench, who has shown in the last couple of games that he's proved vital to Spurs in order to hold up play, you know, waste that little bit of time when you need that bit of grain craft. It's been great to see. I want to whisper this quite carefully, but when you look at that Spurs 11 last night, I mean, bearing in mind Jamie picked up on it, we had seven players out. Still a lot of quality out there, wasn't there?
Yeah, and I think that, again, you know, I'll whisper this quietly as well. I thought that in patches, I thought Moussa Sissoko had a reasonable game as well, as did Harry Winks. It was great to see him there. You know, sometimes I have to sort of pinch myself to remember that he's only 21.
Yeah, 21. Yeah.
And he's sort of... He's sort of the way he sort of like dictates the play, you know, it is a joy to watch. But we now do have quality, and it's interesting that you know, Jason's picked up on it just previously there. When we did change to a 4-4-2 and Llorente came on, I thought it was so telling that for Harry Kane's second goal, Llorente's got two defenders around him, and Kane has managed to find space just on the 18-yard box where he picks the ball up from, you know, from Sissoko and slots it in, and I think that is a fantastic addition, you know, that we've made in Llorente, because, you know, he is a very, very experienced player in these European competitions, and you know, I think he'd be a handful for any defence. And then when you put him on and you've got Kane just slotted in the background, it's obviously a bit of a nightmare for defences, because who do you go with? Do you try and do one-on-one, you know? And then you think to yourself, well, the form that these people are in, you know, are we going to get punished? So, you know, they went for two on Llorente and they still got punished, you know? So... You know, but from a squad point of view, I know we've said it privately, you know, before, that you know, we've always bemoaned, you know, perhaps the lack of quality on the bench, and now, you know, we are getting to see that quality when we need it, and especially last night when, as you said, there were so many people out, either injured or suspended.
Yeah, I mean, I want you to consider as well the likes of Ansu Georgiou came off the bench, made his first appearance for the club. Anton Walks has just signed a new deal this evening, so it'll be tomorrow your time, guys, when this podcast goes out. I mean, Pochettino clearly has that faith in the youth, very much does so. Jamie, I want to bring it to the game itself. Harry Kane, the first goal. Now, it's funny, just before that, you would argue that Spurs were maybe lacking a bit of rhythm in the game, lacking the likes of Christian Eriksen, Dele Alli making the runs, but Kane... Jamie, the clinical nature of him at the moment, that first goal, dispatched with ease, wasn't it? And it really got us on our way.
Yeah, it was a great goal. I mean, the pass beforehand from Alderweireld, just typical Alderweireld, long ball down the from the end of the pitch and just picking out Kane. And yeah, the way he just, he turned it across his body and then, yeah, just so clinical one-on-one. I mean, it's impossible to describe him anymore. So it's just his goal scoring record is phenomenal, and it just shows how clinical he is, really.
Yeah, just on Kane, Jamie, as I got you here, because I feel like you're the in terms of your age, you feel you seem quite young to me. Is he the greatest ever goal scorer you've seen play for Tottenham in your lifetime?
Oh, well, yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, there's obviously the closest to come would be Bale, but for me, even Harry Kane, I think he's surpassed him now. I mean, his goal scoring record is just incredible. I mean, even this season, it's been like, in his last nine away games, he scored like 19 goals. So for club and country, so just, you know, just speaks for itself how good he is.
Yeah, I mean, it's frightening, isn't it? 9 hat-tricks for Tottenham in all competitions. Yeah. He's only ever scored 4 in a single game once before. 7 goals in 5 Champions League appearances. Jay, I want to bring it back round to you. We lauded Harry Kane on Monday night's pod. And I'm just trying to kind of steer away from that tonight to try and go for like a different angle for it. Now, you've heard Jamie there of a different age to yourself in terms of saying that, look, he's the best in my lifetime. Jace, how far off is he in your opinion to being recognised in the same breath by you?
Well, I have to be honest. I think I first went to Tottenham in 76, so I caught the very last appearance, if you like, of Martin Chivers. And from that moment on, he's probably the best one that I've known in my 40 years. I've seen Lineker, Clive Allen, I've seen some great strikers in that time, Klinsmann, Teddy Sheringham, Keynes. You know, they've all scored lots of goals for Tottenham. Without a doubt, Kane is the best one that I've seen. And he probably is now, you know, other than I didn't see Bobby Smith and I didn't see Jimmy Greaves. And they're the players that are associated with the most successful era the club had in those 60s. So, you know, you'd need somebody probably 60 years old to work that one out. But he's definitely the best one that I've known in my lifetime, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, just because of the nature, again, Jace, of the second and third goal, the way he's now dispatching the goals. And again, we say it all the time that he has got such a variation of his finishes. Would you go along, Jace, and say for you at the moment, is he on the same level before Gareth Bale departed? Or how do you see that, if I asked you that question?
He probably, all right, albeit a slightly different style, but probably he's on that same profile level now as Bale. Bale was winning what was winning Player of the Year and Young Player of the Year. He was scoring hat-tricks in Champions League games. And he was seen as the man that would lead Tottenham from that moment on. So, yes, it doesn't surprise me that any club would be interested in him. I mean, if I was sitting at Real Madrid tonight and I'd think, is he better than Benzema? Yes. Is he better than Higuain? Yes. Is he better than, you know, any of those types of players? There's probably very few clubs wouldn't want him. Maybe Bayern wouldn't be with Lewandowski, but he certainly appears to be on that level at the moment. So, yeah, he probably is at that stage of his career.
Ian, just in regards to the point that Jason said there about the same level as Bale, I just want to get your thoughts on that. Are you along the same kind of lines as that? Would it be different to you in terms of your opinion on that matter?
I think with Gareth Bale, he had that lightning pace. His goals were often more spectacular, there was quite a lot of long-range efforts, I remember, towards the end of his career at Tottenham. All I would say with Harry Kane is I'm reminded of a statement that I think, was it Bill Nick said when he was talking about Jimmy Greaves? And he said that, you know, with Jimmy, his greatest sort of asset was the fact that he passed the ball into the net. And I noticed that yesterday with his first two, was that he didn't leather it. You know, that it was just a really clinical pass into a part of the net that the goalie couldn't get to. And I think that, you know, I know Greaves, he won loads, but, you know, going back to the Gareth Bale scenario, I think that, you know, I would agree wholeheartedly with Jason that he is now at that level. I'd say he wasn't up with Messi and Ronaldo yet, but he's not far off it. As a Spurs fan, I'm just loving every nanosecond of the time I see him on the pitch.
Yep, amen to that. Really amen. I want to ask you, Jamie, now. We've heard today, tonight, that the player himself, Harry, has said that he's opening up a shrine to all the goal-scoring memorabilia trophies that he's winning. With that being the case, from a Spurs perspective, have we got to maybe look at the wage structure in the near future for Kane to try and obviously make sure that he's going to be a Tottenham player for many, many years to come? Because there's no doubt from what we've seen from Kane, what he said so far, he absolutely does love the club. And everything about the club is going in the right direction, Jamie. And you look at the stadium, you look at Tottenham as a club with the manager, the way we are, you know, year after year now, going for the Premier League. You've seen our signings this summer. They've been ambitious players. What do we need to do, Jamie, to convince him even further that Spurs is the right club for him? Or do you think everything is on track for him to know that already?
I wouldn't say, with some players, I wouldn't say it's so much all about the money. I think there are some players that look past, you know, think a certain amount of money is enough. Obviously, there's very few in the modern day football, but I think the key with Kane will be providing him with regular Champions League football. And I think trophy's going to have to come soon. I think. But look, I mean, I think just the way he is and the fact that he grew up with our academy, I think he, you know, his head's in the right place. And I think, I personally think that he'll be here for a very long time. So I think it's mostly about the football and what we can offer him in terms of the standard of football that we're playing here at Tottenham.
Yeah, because I mean, we are coming over to you, Jace. We are regularly competing for us, aren't we? Let's be honest, we got to the last four of the FA Cup last year, semi-finals, Champions League, look, we're progressing nicely. Premier League, no one can argue, Jace, we aren't challenging, you know, second, you know, last year, we're showing that ambition. Is there anything else, Jace, we need to do in your opinion?
I think the important thing for us, certainly over the next 2 or 3 years, is to make him believe that we are challenging for the top honours. I don't mean challenging for a League Cup. I mean, he goes into a season and thinks, if I play well this season, we'll still be in the Champions League and we'll be in a title race. Whether we get across the line or not is different. As long as he feels the club is ambitious in that respect. I think if you said to him, Harry, do you want to finish sixth but win a League Cup? Then he'll think that's really not what I want to do. I'd like a League Cup, but the important thing is that position that I feel we can play Champions League football in. And I think on his salary, I think it's a case of, he probably knows that we can't get anywhere near the levels of the mega clubs, but I think we shouldn't abuse that. And I think if we look at it roughly now, and his reported wage is what, £100,000 a week, and let's be fair, he could get £300,000 a week from somewhere else. So he's on a third of what he could earn elsewhere. I think if Daniel Levy sat with him over the next few months and tries to get him up from a third of what he could be on elsewhere to half of what he could be on elsewhere, and then probably at the end of that first season at White Hart Lane, try and get him on to two-thirds of what he could be elsewhere. And then he'd probably have to say, look, that's the best we can do. But at least Kane would feel that, OK, I could earn something elsewhere, but I'm not on a ridiculously low salary compared to what I could be elsewhere. And I think that's all you can do for him. But I don't worry about him long term. I think he'll be there as long as we keep progressing as a club for 3-4 years, something like that. And it will then, if we haven't won anything and we're starting to go backwards and we don't look like we can compete for titles, then it might be a case of him thinking enough's enough. But I don't see that happening for a long time yet, despite the media attempting to sell him off at every opportunity.
Colin, could I just ask a question?
And please,
this, yes. This is for yourself and for the other my other colleagues on the pod.
Yeah.
Do you think that secretly, do you think Kane has an eye on the Alan Shearer record? Do you think he'd want to sort of like be known as the best ever Premier League striker? Or am I just making that up?
No, I mean, I agree with you, and I think that could have an element to it. I mean, I look at him as a player, and he's not once, we've seen the likes of Gareth Bale in the past hint at he wants to move to, you know, to Spain or whatever. I mean, Kane, to be honest with you, he's never seem to approach any interview like that to say that he's looking for a move abroad. I mean, everything he says seems to be that he loves Tottenham. The Premier League is his bread and butter. We're seeing that week in, week out. We've seen him win 2 golden boots in a row in the Premier League. I mean, I agree with you, Ian. There could be a potential that he just wants Alan Shearer's record and wants to win trophies. And why not? Spurs can't deliver that to him. I mean, Jamie, would you go along with that? What do you think?
Yeah, I'd agree, actually. I think he'd be wanting to go for that. And I think, well, obviously looking at Alan Shearer's record, he's some way off it, but it's definitely achievable. And I see no reason why he wouldn't be setting his sights on that sort of level. I mean, he obviously grew up watching a player like Alan Shearer, so obviously that'd be, you know, that's something he's obviously might have always looked up to. So yeah, I think that would be something that would perhaps keep him at Tottenham for the long future, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, it's just frightening, the stats, isn't it? He scored more goals in 2017 than 7 Premier League clubs. If you think that's insane, like I say, as many hat-tricks as Messi, Ronaldo, Lewandowski combined, the last Englishman to score 5 goals in a Champions League campaign was 7 years ago. Harry Kane has done it in just 2 games. I mean, that tells you everything about the guy. We speak about him week upon week here, and we are running out of superlatives for him. Fingers crossed he's a Spurs player for many, many years to come. And let's bring it round to Toby Alderweireld. Now, I'm going to come back around to you, Jace. Jamie picked up on it that you know, he played that great assist for Kane's opener. But he did seem a little bit, I don't know if it's this injury he had last year, Jace, he seemed a little bit unnervy at times. Do you think not having the likes of Vertonghen alongside him, what do you think about that?
He certainly had, by his extraordinary high standards, I thought he had a disappointing game for Toby, one of the worst games I've seen Toby have. I thought, you know, he didn't close the guy down quick enough who smashed a shot against a crossbar, and he allowed a free header from a corner past the post, and then he allowed a free header, I think, later on in that half, or was it in the second half, where guy also got in and behind him with a free header. So it wasn't Toby's best game. He was alongside Sanchez, in fairness, on his left side, not Yan. So I'm not so sure Yan not being there made the big difference. I think what did make the big difference was Aurier seemed to be struggling fitness-wise to get back at times, and so he was having to cover once or twice more than he probably should have done for Aurier not being in the position. And I think that's probably more the cause of it than anything else. But, you know, fortunately, I certainly hope I hope he doesn't have a night like that against Real Madrid. And probably if you were going to have a night like that, Applewell's probably not the worst time to have it. But no, it was, by his own standards, it was considerably below his best.
Yeah. Ian, coming back around to you, just very quickly on Alderweireld, fabulous footballer. Is he having to learn a new position, though, Ian? Because with Sanchez coming in, it's part of a three now. Is that an argument to say maybe that's why we're seeing not the consistent Toby that we're used to week in, week out?
I think that when he, you know, in the last few seasons, he's been in like a settled defensive sort of lineup, and it must be quite difficult for him, you know, to get settled next to Sanchez. But you know, like most footballers, you know, especially somebody that's been sort of born and raised in, you know, Ajax's academy, you know, that, you know, he should be good enough to adapt to any sort of system that we play. He's that good a footballer. And you know, but I do agree with Jason, it wasn't his greatest performance last night. And let's hope that, you know, like most of us, we're all entitled to one or two bad days at the office. And let's hope he's got that one out of his system.
Yeah, agreeing. He has been fabulous for Spurs just overall in his last couple of years. There's no denying that. So hopefully Toby will return back to the very top form we know very soon. One guy, coming over to you, Jamie, that did look really good last night and dubbed the little Iniesta, was Harry Winks. I mean, undoubtedly one of the highest points of the evening. I mean, for me personally, making those positive runs, the driving runs forward, always keen to be on the ball, always wants to receive it. How good could this guy be for us in the future, Jamie?
Well, it's just incredible that, you know, to think he's only 21 and how composed he is on the pitch. It's just, he plays such an experienced player. He looks like he's been playing for years. I mean, it'll be interesting because obviously you've seen the likes of Ryan Mason and that's players like that who have obviously come in and done well. So it's just whether Harry Winks can, you know, improve on that. And I personally see him better than players like Ryan Mason. But yeah, I mean, just for such a young player, I mean, it's just incredible how experienced he looks. So yeah.
I agree with you. And just coming over to you, Jace, there's definitely something different about Harry Winks in terms of the players that have come through Spurs and haven't made it before. I mean, Winks just genuinely looked like he could be the real deal. And, you know, we're facing a situation now with Moussa Dembélé where he's obviously going through a bit of this injury crisis where week to week, it looks like we're going to have to manage him. Winks in the background, Jace, he could really find himself to have a big impact this season, potentially.
Yeah, I think if Winks plays 20 games, even if he doesn't start 20, he has a major part to play in 20 games. I'm convinced he'll go to Russia next summer with the England World Cup squad.
Really?
I think he's the player. Yeah, I think he's the player that England are crying out for. Somebody that can take it off the back four, take it in tight areas, and move it quickly and move it forwards without just, you know, hoofing it or giving it sideways or backwards the whole time. And you know, I'll say something really controversial now. I think when Jack Wilshere very...
I knew you were going to say that.
Well, when Wilshere very first, his first year and a half at Arsenal, let's be honest, he looked a good little player then. Mm. And after that, his lack of brains and his lack of and then the injuries kicked in, and now you just look at him as almost as a joke championship footballer. But for that first year and a half, when he first got onto the scene, that's exactly what he was doing, and that's when he started to look effective in an England shirt. And sadly for his part, that whole part of his career has gone. But I think Winks is that type of player, but I think he has more intelligence than Wilshere, and he won't get sucked into as many stupid tackles or running up as many blind alleys. I think, you know, that's the big difference with Winks. Yeah. And I felt sorry for him, just when you talked about Hugo earlier, you know, I felt sorry for him with his yellow card last night, because there was another, it reminded me of Hugo throwing the ball to Wanyama against Chelsea. He gave it to him in a ridiculous part of the pitch, right in the centre of the pitch with somebody up his backside almost. And you think, you know, it's a stupid place to give him. And he ended up getting a booking, and I'm not so sure he really fouled the bloke, but I felt a bit sorry for him there, and that's not where you should have been giving him that ball.
No, I agree. Coming over to you, Ian, I think like Jamie said it there just recently, he says that he's playing at the moment beyond his years, and the irony, like Jason said there, that if he was to go to Russia and Wilshere misses out, would it be the strangest thing in football, would it?
No, it wouldn't. And I would, you know, just like to add to the Harry Winks discussion that I'm sure I remember, was it last season or the season before, we were playing away from home, and we were and our opponents were starting to really put pressure on us, and I think we were in danger of conceding. And then, you know, we see Winks's number come up, and I must admit, I looked and I thought, that's a strange substitution. But he came on the pitch, and he totally diffused the situation. I think we were getting overrun in midfield, and his composure and his intelligence, you know, going what Jason and Jamie have said, his composure and his intelligence just sort of like seemed to calm us all down. I think, you know, I'm probably going to get this totally wrong, but I predict a really glowing future for Harry Winks. You know, if he steers clear of injuries and he can get some decent game time like he did yesterday and learn his trade, I can see him being a real star for Tottenham Hotspur and indeed for England.
Yeah, I don't think you're far wrong, Ian. I don't think you're far wrong. Another guy, Ian, I can't believe I'm saying this, because obviously recently on the pod it's been a bit of a transformation for this guy, and you brought him up at the very start of it. Mutu Sissoko, an assist for him. Does he deserve, Ian, a huge amount of respect for the amount of stick he's taken? The way he's come back fighting to really kind of say, no, listen, I'm going to have a Spurs career. I'm going to really put my balls on the line and try and work my way back into it. What's your feelings on it?
Well, I'm if Jason, you know, doesn't mind, I'm gonna use one of his quotes, and that is, you don't get 50-odd caps for France and be a bad player. And I think that, you know, and a lot of the times he's been played in positions that perhaps hasn't suited his natural game. I think that his best performances of late, I think, I think Pochettino's played him through the middle. And last night, you know, that assist for Kane was neat and tidy. There's still an issue for me. Sometimes his control can let him down. But it was interesting that he did get a warm reception when he went off against West Ham at the weekend, because I was one of the ones that clapped him. And I think he got a warm, you know, reception when he departed the scene, you know, last night. So, I think he's getting there. And, you know, and I think that all of this, is it 6 million in instalments or 30 million? You know, I think he may have struggled to live up to that, but you know, Potter's kept faith with him, and I think there is a decent footballer in there that we hope we can get the best out of.
Yeah, I agree. Coming over to you, Jamie. I think Pochettino has done the right thing with him, hasn't he, recently? He's deliberately seemingly brought him off to try and give him the appreciation of the fans to say, look, that's how much you're being valued at the moment. That's what you're putting in. That's what you're getting back. I mean, Jamie, we can't really fault him recently, can we?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I'd say there's been a number of factors that have probably helped him in his improvement. I mean, first of all, he's come in and had a full pre-season this year, so I think that's really helped him in terms of fitness and feeling a part of the whole team. And I think the confidence in football is such a big factor. I mean, you look at what happened with like Fernando Torres, an extreme example, but what happened with him, I think it was just, you know, such a talented player, but he was just lacking in confidence. And I think it's the same with Sissoko. I've always seen him as a very talented player, but it's just that confidence. And I absolutely agree. I mean, bringing him off and getting the reception from the fans, that's obviously, well, it just seems to have boosted his confidence because it's been massively improved this year.
Yeah, it really has been. No, I agree. Really has been. Jace, anything for you on for Sissoko? Because, again, I think at the start of it, Jace, you were always one of the ones that said, look, got to give the guy time. Can't keep getting on his back. He's a Spurs player. Get behind him.
Yeah, I'm pleased to see the improvements he's made. You know, having defended him more than most, I would still say the level we're seeing from him now is the minimum level we should expect. I don't think he's having great games. He's having games that he should be having. But because of his form last year, they look like he's having great games. I think the biggest difference for him is he's probably sat down over the summer and he's seen that France being such a talented side that France are. He's seeing competition in midfield. And I think it's dawned on him, look, if I want to go to that World Cup, well, let's be fair, France have a great chance to win it. If I want to be part of a World Cup winning side, I have got to sort out my club form. I have got to force my way into this Tottenham side. And when I get in it, I've got to play well to stay in it. And maybe the penny's dropped with him in that respect. And I think because he's making a contribution, it increases the confidence that the other players and Pochettino have around him. But I think the biggest part of the turnaround is probably down to himself rather than anything else.
Yeah, it really is. Another guy last night, I have to personally mention Eric Dier's performance. I think it goes under the radar at times. You have to remember this guy has had Wanyama, Dembele, Winks, Sissoko, all as his side partners this season. I think for me at times, Dier, he goes unnoticed in there. I thought he was absolutely superb last night. Really is playing well. And again, just kind of come round to you, Ian, Kieran Trippier and Ben Davies. This has to be noted that season before last, these guys were our backup fullbacks. They're now starting the Champions League. Ben Davies, again, a faultless performance. And Kieran Trippier starts at left back, ends up right back. Another assist. He's got Aurier breathing down his neck now, arguably ahead of him. But this doesn't faze him, Ian. He just is cracking on. I mean, what a great attitude from both these fullbacks.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, with Ben Davies and Kieran Trippier, I think they realised when they come in that initially they may all the ways have played second fiddle to Rose and Walker, as it was. Now, I think when Rose is fit, he might struggle to get back in. Mm. And I think that with Trippier, you know, it's blindingly obvious to everyone that, bless him, you know, he only uses his left leg to stand on. So, you know, let's hopefully try and provide him with a platform which enables him to get those crosses in for Kane and Ali, because that supply line last year and even last night, you know, from Trippier's crosses into Kane was quite a productive one for us.
Yeah.
And as for Ben Davies, you know, we've all in the past thought, is he ever going to cut the mustard? Is he going to be someone that will deliver for us? Well, I think that, you know, as somebody that we all thought of as an understudy, has now staked to claim to be at least an equal, if not better, because, you know, I think that he seems to be a bit more of an intelligent player, because he's not maybe blessed with blinding pace. And if you're not blessed with blinding pace, then you have to use your intelligence to get you into the positions that you need to be.
Yeah.
And I think that Davies has come on leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, we've all said before about Kieran Trippier that, you know, would he have made the England squad under another manager apart from Pochettino? I think maybe not. So yeah, it just goes to show that if you are a young, you know, hungry, either English or, or any other country's talent who wants to break into their national side, then come and sign for Spurs, because you know that the current manager is the one that's sort of doing it for us and doing it for those players.
Indeed.
You know, and going back to what we were saying, you know, what a lot of the press have been saying about our players, you know, I'm more concerned about keeping our manager than some of the players.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. I mean, you look at last night, we've said it before, the first team players we had out, you know, Wanyama, Eriksen, Dele Alli, you know, key players, Moussa Dembele, still with the likes of, you know, Danny Rose to return and Eric Lamella. And, you know, like I say, we're on Europe's top table, 1-3-0. You can't ask for much more than that. Chase, just want to get your thoughts on Trippier and Davies, because we talk about in football a lot about attitude and, you know, the mentality. But these guys, like I said earlier, it doesn't seem to faze these guys. They just crack on. You don't ever hear about a moment's problem about them kicking up a fuss that they're not being selected ahead of someone else. I mean, why can't we get that attitude in football as a whole? Because it's brilliant to see it, Jace, especially when it's your players as well.
Yeah, the attitudes that they've shown is terrific. And the attitude particularly of them compared to the little summer rent we saw of Danny Rose, there's not too big a contrast on that, is there? But as you say, they both look intelligent enough boys. They both know their roles, I think, at Tottenham. That's important, that with players like that, you sit down with them when you sign them and you do properly explain it to them. And maybe that was part of the problem with Moussa Sissoko. He just thought that 30 million, I'll be a guaranteed first team start, and found that it wasn't like that at Tottenham. So, you know, if you get the explanation of what you and your demands of them clearly laid down, I think that's what makes a big difference. And those players, I think, have bought into everything that's been told of them, and it shows in their performances.
Yeah, and again, another guy last night, we're not going to have much time to speak about him, but Davinson Sanchez, you know, this guy, club record signing, came in, has really hit the ground running, looked superb last night, another fantastic performance from him. Just want to get your thoughts, guys, as we round up the game. Going to come over to you, Jamie. That's back-to-back games v Real Madrid coming our way now. That's 9 goals and 6 points ahead of Dortmund after 2 games. That win could be really, really crucial against Apoel. And to think, really, could they get a point or more versus Dortmund themselves? What's your thoughts on that?
I think, obviously, in this group, the whole key is getting all 6 points against Apoel. I think that's really important for, especially Tottenham and Dortmund. But for us against Madrid, I think the important thing is just getting anything out of either game, because obviously at the moment we're 6 points clear of Dortmund. And obviously if we were to get a point against Madrid in one of the games, then that even if they were to win both, they wouldn't be catching us. So I think it's going to be really important. Well, obviously it's going to be important against the Madrid games, but if we can get anything out of them, even a point from six, that would be brilliant.
Yeah. Jace, is that how you see it from Jamie's perspective? What do you think?
Well, I think if you know, it'd be just fantastic to get something from one of those two Madrid games. But I thought Apoel last night, they showed enough going forward that if Dortmund go there and don't take Apoel seriously, there's no reason why Apoel couldn't get something from that game. Because as I say, they gave us enough moments of discomfort to think that there's no reason why they can't do that to Dortmund. So, you know, fingers crossed, wouldn't it be fantastic if they can nick something from Dortmund?
Yeah, really would be. And just to say, following up on that game, it was Tottenham Hotspur's 6th successive away game for the first time since the double winning side that we've won. So absolutely tremendous. And 6 goals in the Champions League group stage from just 8 shots on target. Clinical Tottenham this year. So Maurizio Pochettino's thoughts post-match. He says that he doesn't want to use any other description like that of Harry Kane other than love, because his wife was so jealous, and as was Harry Kane's. He says that he expects Kane to score because it's September. No, he thinks that he's had unbelievable skill in front of goal and he's been absolutely brilliant. Those were the thoughts from Maurizio Pochettino. Guys, as always, we ask you to get your questions into us every single week. You can do that by tweeting our Twitter account of @LastWordOnSpurs, leaving your question with the hashtag LWOS. Now, I'm going to come first to you, Ian, tonight. We are literally pushed for time. We've got a lot to fit in. So if you can, in terms of one of these questions I'm going to ask you, wrap it up for us as soon as, that'll be great. We've got a question here from Mark Butcher at MarkB3381, who says, why are the media so desperate to try and sell the likes of Dele Alli and Harry Kane?
Right, I'm going to sum this up quickly.
Thank
based
you.
On your instructions. instructions.
Thank you.
I genuinely believe that we are not perceived as part of the big gang. We saw it a bit with Leicester. You know, Leicester were tolerated, I think, when they won the league. And I just think, you know, you see all the graphics that come out of the top managers. And sometimes I see these graphics and, you know, they don't seem to have Pochettino shown as one of the managers. All the rest are.
Good point, yeah.
And, you know, and when it comes to it, it made my blood boil the other day when you know, a certain ex-England footballer on one of these television programmes said that Harry Kane needs to move to a bigger club. And then he mentioned Manchester United. And I'm thinking, why would you want to go to a club that's finished below yours in the last couple of seasons? How can that be seen as a big club? You know, Tottenham are a big club. And I think it's about time that we, you know, we consolidated that big club tag by consistently getting into the Champions League and starting to win trophies.
You have to consider as well this summer that I think it's well in the public eye that, you know, we did have a bid for Eric Dier that we firmly turned down from Manchester United. So we have shown some ambition to try and keep our players. I think we all know Walker was a side separate issue. We don't need to approach that. We've got Aurier in for cheaper, who could arguably look like a better player, younger as well. So we'll look forward to seeing how he gets on in the next couple of weeks. Let's bring it around to you, Jace. We've got a question here from Zoe Pearson. Another cracker of a question from Zoe. Always good questions. She says, could a potential midfield option be Dier and Wanyama with concerns over Dembele's long-term future? Can they both play together? Jace, I'm going to ask you the same. Anyway, keeping it short and sweet for us.
I think they both played together at Hull last year. We won 7-1.
That's a good point,
so,
yeah.
So it suggests we can, but I don't think going forward that's the ideal thing. I think you do want a little bit more creativity than both of them can offer. And I think Winks and Dier, Dembele Dier, Barkley Dier, or any of them with Wanyama is definitely your better pairing.
Jamie, we're going to come to you next. We've had a couple of questions on Sissoko. I'm going to try and round them into one. We've got a question here from Chris Brown at 1882. Just what has Poch done to improve Sissoko so much? And Z-Man asks as well, is it Poch's magic touch? What do you think, Jamie?
Well, I think the key thing is really is position. I think his favourite position is more centrally. I think when we signed him, I was hoping that he'd be signed as like a number 10 or someone that can play just in behind Harry Kane. I just don't think he has the skill set to play on the wing, and I think he's just suited to playing in the centre of the park. I mean, the way he can carry the ball forward sometimes is more suited to a central role. So I think the positional wise, moving him to the middle's played a big factor. And of course, as I mentioned, it's confidence. You know, I think him having full pre-season. And as I said, playing in the right position, his favourite position, it's just all contributed to making him, you know, the solid player he's been this season.
Yeah, I agree. He has been. I mean, we can't argue this season. He has really stepped up and we've seen it week upon week. But I think like Jay has said on this podcast, we have to remember at the moment we are seeing what may be considered the bare minimum performance we're seeing from Sissoko. We need to see it week upon week. He needs to get better. Fingers crossed it will. I'm going to come back round to you, Jay, on this question. A couple of them. Firstly, Hugo Lloris, his distribution, I think we have to pull it up a little bit the other night. Again, wasn't so great. And also, Jace, two questions. How beneficial do you think the change in formation was when we went from a back three to a back four? So a couple of questions there, Jace. You able to give us your thoughts on those?
I think it was beneficial having that tactical change because it just meant we had players playing in their best and more natural positions. And as I say, I think when you have square pegs in round holes, it always disrupts your performances. So going back to normality definitely had a big impact. And we controlled the game, I thought, thereafter. Hugo's distribution is, we see it every week, don't we? And God, if he does that against Real Madrid, we're in big trouble. But it's what stops him, for me, being the world-class goalkeeper. And, you know, again, controversially, I know not wanting to criticise our players, but it's why, for me, David De Gea is probably the best goalkeeper in the Premier League over the top of him, because it is... It's a big weakness of his. It's not just an occasional thing. It's a really big one. And I don't understand why 4 or 5 years on with the same goalkeeping coach, they haven't sorted it out.
What do you think, Ian? Just bringing you into that, because I think Jay makes a valid point there. This has been, so that has been ongoing for a while with regards to Lloris's distribution. I mean, apart from that, really, very little you can criticise him on. But it is, we've seen it, Ian, regularly, that this lapse in concentration, no, he can't be perfect, but surely there's got to be improvement in this area.
There has. I just, you know, I'm going to put my tongue firmly in my cheek again. I just wonder if Hugo sometimes gets bored and loses a little bit of concentration when it's required. Because often there are huge tracks of the game where he's not involved at all. Mm. And I know that's the mark of a good goalkeeper, in that you've got to be switched on. And I'm going to echo Jason's thoughts about David De Gea. I think that overall he's a better goalkeeper than Hugo.
Okay.
But, you know, I think that Hugo has to sort of perhaps get on the training pitch with the goalkeeping coach and work through these, because he can do it. You know, it's just that, you know, sometimes he has that little bit of rush of blood to the head like we saw yesterday. And he sort of like often has to get away with something. Whereas I think that the West Ham game at the weekend, he come flying out and got his head to the ball, you know, just before one of the West Ham players. So it's fine and narrow margins being a goalkeeper.
Yeah, it is indeed. 1 minute you're a hero, next you're a villain. Go on, Jace.
The only thing is, Ian, being bored in a game is no excuse for it. You know,
top goalkeepers
do go through games where they have very little to do, and the top ones don't let it affect them. You know, right, Manuel exactly. Neuer, hardly yeah. has a thing to do, does he? And you know, you don't see that from the really best. He's a fantastic goalkeeper in every other aspect other than distribution.
I can acknowledge Ian's point. I know what you mean, Ian. Go on, carry on.
All I would say about Neuer is that I've seen him have some real aberrations in the past. Mm. You know, when he's come up against a team that's worked, you know, that's worked Bayern out. You know, if I was going to come up against a Bayern Munich with Neuer in, I'd just turn around and try and put somebody, you know, as high up the pitch as we could, and told them to nullify him. And when you do that, you know, and if you put him under great pressure, I have seen Neuer have some aberrations. But, you know, I understand totally what Jason has said. You know, it's no excuse, and I did say at the beginning, it was said with my tongue firmly in my cheek. You know, it's something that our Hugo has to get out of his system to take him to what would be a world class goalkeeper.
Yeah, well, let's fingers crossed hope Tony Jimenez is on that training ground with him tomorrow. Today, hopefully, working on that with him. Jamie, we'll get you very quickly on your thoughts on this. What are you making of the boys' thoughts? David De Gea, better goalkeeper than Hugo Lloris. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of shot stopping, I think that's the one area where Lloris is strongest. We're on his distribution, I'd say perhaps it's worked in our favour, because obviously there's been a lot of talk about Lloris potentially moving away. So perhaps, I mean, a lot of the top clubs like Barcelona require their keepers to be really good with their feet. And obviously that's the area that he's not so strong with. So perhaps it's worked in our favour. But, you know, it is baffling to wondering why, you know, it's not been sorted out. I mean, you'd think a top player like that would be able to perhaps work on it and improve on it. But it's always been a weakness for him.
It has indeed, isn't it? It really has. But fingers crossed, they are going to be working on it, as we need him to. We've got Real Madrid coming up soon. And I think, Jace, like you just said a couple of moments ago, we make those mistakes against those kind of clubs, they will punish us. They will be ruthless, because, you know, we're dealing with clubs that are clinical at the highest level. So it will be interesting to see that. Talking about Madrid, Jason, to come back round to you, we've got Michael Chivers at Chive Turkey 84. Final question of tonight, who says, I'd like to know your thoughts on how the Real Madrid games will go. They are beatable, as we've seen in the Liga, but there seems to be a fear around them. Would you go along with that, Jace?
I don't know if it's fear or just respect for everything they've achieved in the last few years. I mean, you know, they've won three of the last four Champions League finals. They are a wonderful side, full of genuinely world-class players. Ronaldo, what, 400 goals. So I think the whole combination of things that they have about them makes you be in awe of them almost as much as fear. I don't fear that game. I'm really looking forward to it for a number of reasons. But I think the one thing that we'll take from those games is that Real Madrid are the most streetwise or game crafty team there is. They can suck you into fouls. They can manipulate referees. They know how to dictate the tempo of a game. And I think if we can learn something from those games, regardless of the results, just take some of that game craft from them and apply that week in, week out. That'll be enough to get us over the line in one or two trophy hunts.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Ian, going to come around to you very quickly for your thoughts on that game against Madrid. Very exciting games to come. How do you see them going?
Oh, as Peter Crouch sort of joked on social media a while ago, you know, as long as they don't have some idiot who gets himself sent off after 10 minutes, then, you know, we've got a bit of a chance. But, I do agree totally with what Jason has just said. You know, it is going to be a situation where we either go there to learn or we do what, you know, some clubs have tried to do in the past, and you go there to try and upset their rhythm and not be that respectful of them. You know, there's this that can often backfire, but sometimes you have to go and play your own game against a team like that to stand any chance of getting something out of the game. Yep. I think if we've always said in the past, if you try and match them, you know, man for man, then I think we may well come unstuck, because if you go through their starting 11 and you go through our starting 11, you know, there's maybe only one or two positions in that where you'd say that we were perhaps stronger. So it is going to be something where, you know, a bit like the Chelsea home game last year, where we're going to have to be clinical and we're going to have to win all our battles on the pitch on the night. So it's going to be tough, but I know, you know, that I think that from what we've seen of Pochettino, he'd have certainly have done his own work.
Yeah, I agree. Fingers crossed. Jamie, very quickly coming to you. We're going to move on to Huddersfield in literally a second, but beatable Real Madrid. Very quickly, what's your thoughts?
Definitely, yeah. I was just thinking that. I mean, just recently they've lost 1-0 to Celta Vigo, so it just shows you that they are beatable, and you've got to remember that. And playing them at the right time, they're, you know, struggling for form in the Liga at the moment. So I think we can go and be positive. And as I said, it's just about anything more than a point from the six. I think it'll be very much considered a success.
Yeah, I agree. Guys, thank you so much for all your questions. As always, if you want to get involved with the Last Word on Spurs podcast, all you've got to do is tweet us at our Twitter account of @LastWordOnSpurs, leaving your question with the hashtag LWOS. Come and join the live debate with us, guys, all the time. Really enjoy it. Right, Jason, back round to you. Let's preview Huddersfield then. So what changes, Jace, do you envisage us to make, with the game being an early kickoff Saturday afternoon? We know Dembele's touch and go. Who else, Jace, do you see coming in, going out of that team?
I think Vertonghen and Ali come back. Trippier goes over because of the suspension onto the right, and I think Sonny didn't particularly have his best game for us last night, so I think Ali comes in there, and Eriksen, presumably if he's over his illness, will be back. So I think there will be changes, and it's a question then, if Eriksen comes back, is do you leave Sissoko out or do you leave Winks out? And he may well go with Sissoko in there rather than Winks at the moment, because Sissoko's just seems to have been the go-to man in the first few weeks of the season.
Yeah, staggering, isn't it, Jace, to think you're saying this now? I mean, I think if we recorded this 4 or 5 weeks ago, you'd be like, huh? It's just crazy how football changes. Ian, coming over to you, do you go alongside that? Any other changes you would see Potts making?
No, I think that I think Jason's nailed what I think will be the starting 11. You know, I definitely see if Eriksen's over his illness, I think he'll be back. You know, Ali and Vertonghen, you know, alongside in a back three with Davis on the left and Trippier on the right.
Yeah. Going to come round to you, Jamie. Just on the team, very quickly, Huddersfield. They've got they've played six games, 9 points on the ball for them. Conceded five, scored six already. They've started pretty well, Jamie, to the Premier League. Not going to be an easy game up there, is it? I think we're the first top six club going up there to their place. So you kind of get the feeling up there. They're going to try and make it, I wouldn't say intimidating, but they're going to try and obviously create an atmosphere.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they've obviously, as you said, they've made a good start. So, I mean, again, it's an away game. And obviously, right now, we've been fantastic playing away. So I think we can be optimistic in that sense. I think, obviously, with the players we've got coming back, the likes of Vertonghen, Eriksen and Ali, as we mentioned, I think, look, we've got the quality to beat them. And I think if we just play the way that we usually do, then I think, really, we should be getting all 3 points here, I think.
Yeah. Come in, Jamie. Let's get a prediction from you then.
I'm going to say 3-1. I'm going to say Harry Kane's going to get two. And I reckon that Ali will score one.
Okay, that'd be nice of Dele Alli getting back on that score sheet. Been a while. That's actually been a while. He scored in Barnsley the other week, but fans won't have that. They want it in the Premier League, typically.
Yeah.
But let's come back around to you, Jason. Let's get a prediction from you for Saturday afternoon.
I'm going to go for a well within ourselves, comfortable, but maybe not as thrilling 2-0 type of win.
Okay. Thoroughly professional, Jason. We'll take that.
Can I just have a little pop at John Mannings for his little tweet last night when he said to us, I can't see this being 2-0 or 3-0 like Jace predicted on the pod.
We had a winner. We had a winner, Jace. Missed it, mate.
We finally had a winner, John. So it was 3-0. So you owe me a beer, mate.
And finally, having the last word on Spurs tonight goes to you, Ian. What's your prediction for Saturday?
I'm going to go 2-1 Spurs.
2-1 Spurs. We have to grind it out, Ian, are we?
Yeah, I think that, as we've said, they'll be up for it. You know, I'm looking forward to going up there. So, let's hope that I don't have another good day out sport by the football.
Well, fingers crossed you don't. Ian, thank you so much for coming on tonight. Been a real pleasure having you back on.
You're welcome.
And Jamie, thanks again for coming onto the show. Really enjoyed having you.
No, thank you very much for having me. And hopefully you can continue our fantastic away form.
Yes, fingers crossed. And Jace, we're back on Monday night, aren't we?
Yep, let's hope it's a good weekend for everyone.
Yep, fingers crossed. Well, guys, like I said, we are going to be back on Monday night, hopefully looking back on another Tottenham Hotspur away win. Just for now, as always, come on, you Spurs!
It's 9-0, but I try and score every game, and obviously it's a bonus when I get free.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.